Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com and the Keystone Sports app. Download it now. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Jeff Brown with us now. We're going to talk some Penn State hoops, going to talk some Penn State wrestling just after this, so make sure you stay tuned. Jeff, I got to just ask the question. Penn State was looking to be on the verge of maybe an NCAA tournament berth. They were on the bubble for sure. Some people thought they were in. Some people thought they were out. Had two huge matchups down the stretch at home against Michigan, on the road at Nebraska. They end up losing them both to close out the regular season. I want you to go ahead and do what you do and spin this all as a positive. Let's see. Let's hear what you got.
I don't know that I can. You know, I sat during the Michigan game and I thought, wow, these guys are not better than Penn State. They're just not. I don't care if they were two games better in the win column and all of that. They matched up pretty evenly, I thought, and it was anybody's game. And I really think, and I hate to make excuses for the guys, but man, when you play Purdue late Sunday night, and Purdue just beats the heck out of people physically. It's just a really, really tough game to play Purdue. It's kind of like in football when a team plays Wisconsin, you know, you usually bet against them the next week because they are battered and bruised. And it's the same way here. And I just didn't feel like the energy was there. I didn't feel like the legs were there. The guys tried, and man, they had some great highlight plays, but they just didn't have it. And I can't tell you why, but they didn't have what they needed in order to beat Michigan. And then, you know, last night, they were never in it from the get-go. And again, who knows why, but they just weren't in it. So now they've got to do some real damage in the Big Ten tournament if they have any hope at an NCAA bid. But right now, I don't know that they do.
That run's going to have to be pretty long in the tournament, maybe ending with holding a trophy. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on these things, but I do know that those losses hurt, and I don't think you can ignore the fact that you mentioned Purdue, but just not having Mike Watkins for most of that Michigan game, not having him at all against Nebraska. This isn't a Penn State team. It's dynamic, as we've talked about, but depth, especially in that front court, is just not good enough to be able to overcome something like that.
You're absolutely right. Mike Watkins proved his worth the last two games, and boy, you could just feel the air go out of the Jordan Center as he was laying under the hoop, and especially that early in the game. And I'm not quite sure. I know Pat, I think, just made the decision to go with a short, quick team, and Lamar Stevens and his leaping ability, along with Josh Reeves, helped them out down low. But yeah, I didn't understand why Julian Moore wasn't in the game more.
And if you're going deeper into that rotation, you are not getting anything that's very dynamic. You know, you're getting bodies, but you're not getting guys who are going to make a real contribution offensively. And I think what you've seen at several points this year is just not quite enough depth of scores, not enough guys who can create, and not enough guys that can fill it up for you when you need it.
That's absolutely true. And if one goes down, boy, you're in trouble. You know, Nazir Bostic plays well off the bench. You know, Wheeler comes off the bench and gives you a spark, but doesn't give you a scoring spark. And unfortunately, it kind of puts you down as far as you, maybe you're playing 4-on-5 basketball then when Jamari's in the game. So it's nothing that you ever want to have happen. But, man, when Watkins went down, I think, pretty much that spelled the end as far as the Michigan game was concerned.
Well, and you look at that Michigan game, too, and watching it. So you have two guys from Michigan, really, Mo Wagner and off the bench Duncan Robinson played 32 minutes. Those guys combined for 37 points. And what you see is they go 7 out of 11 from three-point range. And I think there's just a little bit more demoralization that comes when you have, you know, a 6'9" white guy knocking down threes on you. It has the ability to take the air out of your sails a little bit more so than if it's somebody that you might come to expect to make that shot.
And Penn State would get close, and you're right. All of a sudden, they're draining threes. And I got to tell you, this Wagner kid, what a jerk.
I heard it's hard to get from television, but I heard that he has become really the most targeted and hated guy on Michigan's team. I didn't see it with my own eyes.
He was just, and this isn't sour grapes, he was just a jerk the entire time. He's mouthing off to the refs, he's mouthing off to the Penn State players, and then when the Penn State players would react, he'd do the, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, and, you know, throwing his hands in the air. He was a jackass. I just really, despite the damage he did to Penn State as far as scoring is concerned, I just hated to see him succeed because he's not the kind of basketball player I like to watch.
Jeff, listen, let's stop sugarcoating things here. Let's get to the heart of it. Express your feelings to me about Mo Wagner. Now, I saw it, it's hard to it's I think I guess it's hard to glean that if you're not sitting and watching his every move.
No, it's just I hate players like that. I can tell you, Terrell Pryor, when he was playing his senior year, he played at the Jordan Center for the BIAA championships. And, of course, he was flirting with Penn State at the time and coming to Penn State. And at one point, he made a really, really, I mean, incredibly stupid basketball decision. And his coach yelled at him for it. And Pryor yelled at his coach the entire way down the floor to play defense. And right then and there, I thought, I don't even want him coming to Penn State. I don't like that attitude. I hate players like that. And Wagner was the same way. He was just a smarmy little jerk.
if I had a nickel for every time my mom called me that, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you, Jeff. Let's put it that way.
You'd be a very rich man. Is that what you're doing?
I would be, 100%.
I don't believe that a bit.
100%. Just for my mom. You listen to the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking Penn State basketball and smarmy little jerks with Jeff Brown, our good friend. Looking at the Nebraska game, you mentioned you can't quite put your finger on the why or the how or whether there might have been a letdown or the lack of energy. They just never were in it on the road against Nebraska. Probably still feeling the effect of putting a lot of emotional energy into maybe that Michigan game and several games before that too. It didn't really surprise me that much to have a letdown when it felt like some of the high stakes were removed after losing to Michigan. But so they lose it, and, you know, we talked about maybe the lack of depth with offensive options, but 23 shots for Tony Carr. Is that where Penn State wants to be with him occupying the ball that much?
No, and I think they proved that earlier in the season. Tony went through a real transformation where, you know, he was, and I think we had talked about it, he was taking a lot of shots and taking a lot of things on himself. And then Josh Reeves came back. And all of a sudden, Tony was dishing the ball. And he was still getting his points, but he was controlling the offense in a completely different way. And that's when Penn State had their greatest success this year, was when Tony was getting his points, yeah, but he was also dishing to everybody else. And when this Nebraska game, he kind of went back to his old ways. And I don't know if that was overcompensating for the loss of Watkins or whatever, but he was back to the Tony Carr of midseason that really nobody wanted to see.
And I think just when that happens, you see he's got one assist in that game. Penn State has six assists on 24 buckets, and I don't think that's the movement that you expect or you want. And I don't know if Pat has said anything, but, you know, with that dynamic in mind, do we know if or when we can expect to see Mike Watkins again?
I have asked a bunch of people, and everybody just says they're towing the corporate line as far as knee injury, and we'll see. So, you know, I would hope if you know, we haven't had a declaration at this point of he's out for the season, and you would think if there were only a few games left, they could just go ahead and say he's out for the season if it was severe. So I'm hoping maybe he's back for the Big Ten tournament.
Who's the guy? So Lamar Stevens, I watch and I just wonder – about the upside, because it looks to me like he might just be scratching the surface. Am I wrong about that? Can he be the guy who can create and who can be that dynamic 20-point scorer type?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've seen Lamar do that in a couple of games this year where he took over. He even had a 30-plus game this season. So he definitely is a guy who can take over, but you've got to have somebody dishing him the ball. And if Tony's not dishing him the ball, then Lamar doesn't have a whole lot of choice. There's been many games this year where we've seen, you know, Lamar get hot, and then all of a sudden he doesn't get the ball for stretches of the time. So, yeah, if Mike's not going to be able to play in the Big Ten tournament, they've got to lean on Lamar Stevens offensively and defensively.
Yeah, and without Watkins, I still just think, and we touched on a little bit, that to go through a little bit of a slump when Josh Reeves is out dealing with his, whatever it was, an academic issue. And now these couple games without Mike Watkins, there's just not a lot of margin here for this Penn State team. It's not anybody's fault. I just think that, you know, there's not a lot of dynamic depth behind the starting five, and you're seeing that. But I still don't think that that's a real full explanation for only scoring 17 points in the first half against Nebraska. They were thoroughly dominated inside on the stat sheet and otherwise in that game. There's just a bigger explanation there beyond Mike Watkins, and it just wasn't working for him.
We go back to the schizophrenic Penn State team that we talked about early in the season. You never knew which team was going to come out, and then all of a sudden when Josh Reeves came back, they were a very dynamic team. They played great defense. They scored clutch buckets, and everybody got that was in part of the flow. And this Nebraska game, they just went back to the old ways. And you know, was it fatigue? Was it a letdown? I don't know. I really don't know. But we'll see. They've got Northwestern coming up this week, and they need to blow by them and a couple of other teams to give themselves a real shot.
Well, let's just say the Big Ten tournament run, however long it lasts and all that kind of stuff, if the NCAA tournament doesn't happen and the NIT happens, they make a little bit of a run there, are you still putting the success stamp on the season as a whole?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you can look at it negatively because there are those four or five games that they should have won and they didn't. And if you even give them three out of the five or four out of the five, we're having a much different conversation. So that's the negative side, and where you might go, oh, boy, this was kind of a disappointing season. But take a look, you know, 19 wins, they were just shy of a 20-win season, which was unheard of a few years ago. And, you know, winning nine Big Ten games, again, unheard of a few seasons ago. So, yeah, I think it is a good season. It's not a great season. It's not the season that it might have been, but it's a good season, and it's something to build on. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that everybody that was on the floor, you know, is going to be on the floor with the exception of the seniors next season. I'm very concerned about the NBA at this point.
Yeah, it's another variable for another day. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. That's Jeff Brown talking Penn State hoops. Brandon Pelter will join us in just a moment to talk some Penn State wrestling. Stick around.
Hi, this is Scott Shirley, Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes. I'd like to personally invite you to join us for a very special event. Coach James Franklin will be coming to Stocks Manor in Mechanicsburg on Thursday evening, March 15th. Come hear Coach Franklin speak about building a winning team and learn more about the work that Uplifting Athletes is doing for the rare disease community. There will be appetizers, drinks, and photo opportunities. Please go to upliftingathletes.org where you can register for tickets. We hope to see you there.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.